You know, when I prepare to step into the pulpit week after week, I consider, how can I convey the power of the good news to this moment in time? Perhaps you come to this space weary and worn, looking for comfort, and God has comfort to give you, but not necessarily in worship, at least not in the way that you might recognize it. There's a better place for receiving comfort. When we come to God looking for comfort, there are other ways, other spiritual practices, which are uniquely designed for that purpose, primarily our private devotions. The purpose of worship is to recall the salvation story completed, yet ongoing, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now, to our gospel lesson for today. Chattel slavery has so deeply affected our consciousness that most folks don't want to read this passage of scripture out loud. Slavery in this nation was so barbaric, so inhumane, so violent, both in word and action, that the recollection of it makes us recoil. We don't want to remember. Remembering makes us feel uncomfortable. And we would hate to think that our goal is to become comfortable with remembering these atrocities. That seems like cruel gas on an already destructive fire. So let us acknowledge here at the start that this part of our nation's history always hurts. But we can't not remember when we read this passage of scripture today. Here is Luke's pattern of Jesus' storytelling. Which of you, and you might recall if you've been in worship weeks earlier, that this is something Luke uses again and again. This is the last story of his that uses this setup. Which of you would say to your slave? We recoil from the question. Jesus uses these stories to help us find a likeness in our lived experience with what God is like in the infinite relationship with us. And we don't want to show up for this story because of our nation's history when it comes to slavery. We say, when we hear Jesus' words, which of you, we say, no, I wouldn't say that, actually. Slavery was wrong. And 150 years after its ending, we are still living with its dehumanizing destructiveness. I want us to move through the all-too-painful American experience when it comes to slavery so that we can emerge on the other side with a clarity of what Jesus wants to illustrate with this story. You'll be surprised, I imagine, to discover that it's Black Americans, those who carry the story of being enslaved in their bodies, who help us discover Jesus' point. To begin, we notice in this gospel story that Jesus likens us to the one who has slaves. Which of you would say to your slave after they just came in from the field, take your place at the table? You see, we have here a hierarchy of relationship. There is one with the power and one who serves the powerful. With chattel slavery, the system was built to make the point that there is no commonality between the powerful and the one who serves. Chattel slavery attempted to define humans as the white man and his people. And chattel slavery attempted to define the Black man and his people as less than human. I specifically have gendered this description because men were considered superior to women and children. Men were considered the fullness of humanity, with women and children compared to them and considered lesser in their difference. And I specifically chose the verb attempted because every effort was made by those who knew themselves as white to create and maintain power structures which defined who was human. In fact, white was created in order to unify power and clearly indicate who was outside of the powerful ranks. In chattel slavery, this was clear. It was key because the powerful only enslaved those who were less than human. So already you see the difference between chattel slavery and Jesus' story. In chattel slavery, the system was built to deny people their humanity in order to justify their enslavement. White people didn't want to look upon the humanity of black people. They treated black people so badly that they needed to structure and maintain a system of dehumanization in order to sleep at night. If you want to physically understand the extent and variety of chattel slavery, I commend to you The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. It's a fictional story which pulls together the complex relationships and ideology behind that time in our nation's history. Barry Jenkins adapted the book and directed it as a miniseries released back in 2021. The miniseries is an incredible work of art that is beautiful and immensely painful and remarkably hopeful all at the same time. Back to Jesus' story. In Jesus' story, and in the times in which he lived, slavery was not built on dehumanization according to the color of someone's skin. I'm sure that not all slaves were treated well, but the practice of slavery in Jesus' time was built on a different structure than what we're familiar with in chattel slavery. And that makes all the difference. You see, in Jesus' story, we move from being identified with the one who has slaves to identifying with the one who is enslaved. So you also, Jesus says, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, will say, "We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done." And again, we recoil from that suggestion. Slavery is wrong. And plus, I'm not worthless. This is true. And black enslaved people in this nation knew this too. The Spirit of the living God, placed within each of them as God's beloved child, spoke to each of their hearts, whispered so loudly that only they could hear it, "You are valuable. Your life matters." Harriet Tubman, Richard T. Allen, Absalom Jones, Frederick Douglass, Sojourner Truth, the Freedmen in the North in Boston, and countless others, names I've forgotten or who are simply unknown. Their value and worth was taught to their children and their children's children, whispered in hush harbors away from threatening ears, "You are valuable." And it rang true within them so that they could hear or read this passage in Luke as we are and say, as we do, "Wait, slavery is wrong. And plus, I'm not worthless." And here's where slaves and their descendants break through the chattel slavery analogy of our nation to what Jesus is trying to illustrate. The true voice within black enslaved folks, which said, "This is not what you were created for. You are more than what your master says. You are valuable. You are loved." This voice, the Spirit of the living God within each of them, this is the voice which gave them questions for their salvation. Who do you serve? Whose expectations do you follow? Who gives you your identity? Do you hear the witness and the power of God's saving acts, even when the earth's power seemed to make no way? Still, the Spirit of the living God spoke to each person, reminding them of who they are. That's the salvation story. And these are the questions that Jesus is driving home with his story. Who do you serve? Whose expectations do you follow? Who gives you your identity? The first four verses of Luke's chapter 17, which we read today, says this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Immediately then, we hear the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. This is hard work. Do you hear what the master is saying? Do you hear the expectations given to us to follow? Do you know how? Are you equipping yourself with the tools to carry out, quote, what you have been given to do? As your priest and pastor, I take seriously to what extent opportunities are provided for you here to grow in your faith. Because what God is asking of us is hard to do. And you might find yourself saying, as I do, this is hard, I'm tired. And that might be true. In fact, I would say it actually is true. But it's God who gives us the strength to carry out what is asked of us. We're worthless because we can't carry out our service through our own strength. We need the strength and direction of our Master, the one living God who is love. That's why we're worthless slaves. We serve a living God, and we literally can't do what we've been asked to do without God's help. There's a version of Christianity out there that fails to recognize the humanity of all people. I would argue, and quite effectively, I think, that it's not Christianity. But I warn you that this ideology is using the name Christianity to justify its inhumane actions, just like the slaveholders of our nation did. Let us turn to the hard-earned wisdom of our Black American ancestors. Let us heed their direction of what it takes to survive destructive and powerful forces. I encourage and urge you to learn their stories, for there are many. And when you learn them, you will come to believe and trust their guidance when the way becomes impossible. One thing that we are doing on Wednesday nights coming up is planning how to offer training in nonviolent resistance, because we Christians need to know how to fight without violence. Our source for learning is the King Center. We're building upon the hard-earned wisdom of our Black American ancestors. Turn to Jesus, we're instructed to do. As we heard earlier in Luke's gospel, you cannot have two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. And today, on this feast day, when we remember St. Francis, we remember the same. He demonstrated it too. He is also one of our ancestors that can inform and guide us during this most difficult time. Let us pray. O God, who is love, you draw us to yourself in and through all things. At moments of hardship, we are tempted to abandon you. We become our own worst enemy, undermining the very possibilities you have for us. Increase our faith. We often think that we need faith larger than a mustard seed, O Lord, but our Black American ancestors are living proof of your truth that you can make a way out of no way. Through their living witness, we see your faithfulness. We see that when we have nothing, you give us all that we need and bring us into freedom and joy. Even when the powers of this world, claiming your name, act with destructive force that terrifies us, you whisper in our hearts loudly and confidently, saying, "Follow me, I will lead you through the fires of this world to the freedom of my kingdom, where all that I've created prospers." O Lord, help our unbelief, for we are worthless slaves to your love, unable to complete our tasks without your help. And you always help. You make it possible for us to say one day, we have done only what we ought to have done. And for this we give you thanks. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.